tuned into Quick Charge, the high voltage podcast bringing you the top stories in electric vehicles and sustainable energy daily. And it's all powered by Electrek. Welcome to Quick Charge. It's May 19th, 2025, and I'm your host, Joe Boris. For today's episode, we're going to focus on the current solar scenario. That's all the news and information currently affecting the solar scene, not only on the utility grade side, but also on the home storage side. That's critically important because solar and wind have made up 98% of new U.S. power generative capacity in January and February of 2025. That's according to Michelle Lewis, who wrote this article about a month ago talking about all the new energy resources coming online in the U.S. That includes the biggest solar farm east of the Mississippi, which is now powering Chicago, and this vast 1.3 gigawatt Indiana solar farm that is going to power 200,000 homes in northern Indiana. But it's really important to realize that as this is happening and we are making this very real, very effective transition into clean energy, the House Republicans have drafted a budget bill that kills the 30% residential solar tax credit. The House's one big, beautiful bill, and yes, that is really what it's called, has set an accelerated expiration date of December 31st, 2025 for the 30% residential solar tax credit, nearly a decade ahead of its originally planned air date. The Republican Majority House Ways and Means Committee proposed terminating Section 25D on page 221. That would kill the residential solar tax credits by the end of this year, a full 9 years ahead of its original end date of December 31st, 2034. Utility scale solar tax credits would remain in place through 2028 before a phase down in 29, 30, 31, and then zero in 2032. The original plan includes a gradual reduction in residential tax credits, but this new compressed timeframe leaves no time for the solar industry to prepare. If Congress eliminates the ITC without a reasonable phase down, that's obviously going to cause immediate disruption within the solar industry. That's according to Aaron Nichols with Exact Solar, who is speaking to Energy Sage. The tax credit is known as the investment tax credit and provides homeowners with a tax credit of 30% for the cost of their residential solar installation. That was part of the Biden administration's flagship Inflation Reduction Act. Now, obviously, to talk about this is something kind of big, something that affects everybody, homeowners alike. And even if you're not a homeowner, these kind of things impact the amount of money that you're paying per kilowatt hour, especially when the utility that you buy from can no longer access those tax credits and then put in more expensive generation instead of less expensive solar. So critically important to talk about this with experts, and especially true today because home solar prices have hit record lows and they're getting even cheaper, and even battery storage is getting significantly cheaper. That's what the big news, the big takeaway was from Energy Sage's new solar and storage marketplace report. And to talk about that in detail, we've got Emily Walker. She's the director of insights for Energy Sage. You see their banners all over our website. And the original plan was going to be to have Emily on, talk about their solar and storage marketplace report. They put out this kind of market intel guide every 6 months or so, and it's a very well-respected piece in the industry, and a lot of people look at it and really pay attention to it. But now we've got this 800-pound elephant in the room, or gorilla, or whatever is 800 pounds, with this House bill that is kind of intended to kill off this 30% solar tax credit. So, Emily, I mean, we couldn't have timed this better, honestly, because you're the solar expert. You're the person who can talk us through this.
Yeah, in terms of timing, agreed. Could it be better? Although I would have benefited from maybe a little bit more sleep over the past few days. So I don't know about that timing. But in terms of bringing to light the importance of this in the industry and honestly talking about our report in, you know, it kind of set the scene for us heading into 2025, what the industry was looking like, and now with so many disruptions kind of wreaking havoc on the residential solar industry over the past few months, it's kind of more important than ever to look at what the baseline is.
Well, and it's crazy too, right? Because we're really talking about just the first third of this year, and we're already navigating tariffs, we're navigating tax credits, we're navigating supply chain issues, and amid
persistently high interest rates too. That hasn't gone away.
Persistently high interest rates, 100%, right? So, you know, I think there's a lot of people who have been on the fence about home solar who have been looking at this saying, well, maybe when interest rates go down, well, maybe when the prices get a little bit lower. When people call you and people ask you about this, as I'm sure they do, are you looking at this and kind of saying, like, guys, the time is now? Like, it's not going to get better.
Seriously. Yeah, you're spot on, Joe. I mean, what we saw at the end of 2024 were historically record low prices for residential solar at $2.50 a watt. And we saw the highest output of solar panels ever quoted on our platform. So this really creates a great scenario for people looking to go solar. And now with these changes to the federal solar tax credit, it's just putting even more pressure on people who are on the fence on whether to go solar or not. We're kind of putting off this decision for a while. Now is the time. You know, we don't know what's going to happen with tariffs. They're currently set at 10% baseline tariffs, but we could see that increase significantly in the next few months. We don't know what's going to happen with the ITC, but as the bill stands today, it's going to disappear at the end of 2025.
It's worth noting, though, this is not a bill that has passed yet. This is not yet something that is law, but everything that this administration has done so far has been going after incentives like these. And the way I think they would frame it is, we want solar production in America. We want solar farms in America, all that kind of thing. When your contractors, when the contractors and the people that, you know, and again, if you're listening to this and you're not familiar with Energy Sage, the way that it works is you put in your information, they generate a quote for you, they generate a kind of a list of different contractors who you can reach out to and talk to, and nobody's calling you, you're not getting these annoying sales calls, nobody's coming to your house. You don't talk to a contractor or an installer until you decide to take that step. And that's really what I think makes Energy Sage a unique product in this space, because if you're familiar with some of the other guys, you make one phone call, you get 45 phone calls back, people are pressuring you to get in there, and it's a really tough scene. So I'm not going to turn this into an Energy Sage commercial, but I think it is worth saying that, you know, if you're the type of customer who's interested in energy independence, that this is something that you can look for. And I think the question needs to be asked, what if I'm motivated by putting a made in the USA system on my barn or my horse shed or on my roof or even my small business or my large business, right? Is that something that Energy Sage can help me navigate, or is that not yet something that's really a high priority for people?
I mean, in recent years, with the passage of the Inflation Reduction Act back in 2022, that spurred a lot of domestic manufacturing for solar. So we've seen a huge increase in American solar products. And based on our most recent marketplace report, we saw that 5 of the top 10 panel brands quoted on our platform have at least some domestic manufacturing. A lot of our installers are also huge champions of American manufacturing, and that's the type of equipment that they like to quote. So certainly can request that if it's something that's important to you.
Now, you know, we've talked again about some of these things, and I don't want to make this a political episode because there's a lot of really good data that I want to dive into here. But one last question, if it's okay with you. We've also seen pushback from the administration on Energy Star programs, energy efficiency programs. And to me, and I think to a lot of people, all that stuff kind of goes hand in hand with solar, right? So you want to have a more, you know, energy efficient heat pump water heater or an electric stovetop or even a microwave, right? And you look for that Energy Star symbol to say, like, hey, I'm not going to use as much energy. Is that kind of thing important to a solar platform, or is the output high enough now in 2025 that even if you don't have an Energy Star TV or an Energy Star refrigerator, you're still probably going to see a significant savings on that solar installation?
To be completely honest, the more energy you use, the more you have, the more you can save with solar. So it definitely depends on your roof size, but for the average person, you're just going to save so much more as you continue to increase your electricity usage. So whether that is because you recently bought an EV, you recently installed heat pumps, or you can't get your hands on an energy efficient device, solar is going to save you big over time.
That's such a great point. And I'm kind of embarrassed that I didn't think of that, because we always tell people in the, you know, in the truck space and the commercial space that, you know, if you're putting thousands and thousands of miles on your vehicle every month, you need to be in an EV, because those fuel savings are just going to be so high for you.
So true.
that it's there, right? So to think of it in the same terms, the more energy you use, if you like to keep it at 66 instead of 75 in the summer, the more energy you use, the more you stand to save by generating that energy and that electricity yourself. So that's an awesome, awesome takeaway. So, you know, we talked a little bit before the show about some of the big takeaways of this report. And I think those, you know, number one, solar prices have hit a historic low. Number two, storage prices have also hit a record low. Talk to me a little bit about that storage system, right? So, you know, that to me, when I hear storage, I think of a battery, right? Why might you want to add a battery to your home?
Yeah, that's a great question. There are three main reasons why we encourage people to install batteries. One, we've obviously seen a huge increase across the country in severe weather. So resiliency is really important for a lot of people. You know, if you're somebody who frequently experiences power outages, you know that it can not only be really disruptive to you, but it also can end up costing you a lot of money, whether that's, you know, you have a lot of spoiled groceries in your fridge that you didn't get to use on time. That can add up over time, whether it's because you needed to run a sump pump and that resulted in you flooding your basement. That could pay for a battery in and of itself. Or maybe you have critical medical supplies that you need to be able to keep powered and you need a battery to do that.
Yeah, you hit it right on the head with the medical emergency people. And, you know, I don't think it's necessary these days, but I know, you know, when I was a kid and I had family members who had insulin, they had to keep that refrigerated. And like, it was bad when Hurricane Andrew came through Miami and they couldn't get that done.
Yeah, I feel for them. It's scary and it really can be your life on the line. So having something that's really reliable to provide you with power during outages, I guess I didn't make this clear, but some people don't understand that you can't continue to run solar panels. You can't continue to run your home on solar panels if the grid is down. You need a battery to do that.
Yeah, and so that's something really that I think integral. Most people don't get. They think, well, yeah. What do I care if the power's out? I've got solar. No, no, no. That's not how this works.
Yeah, you need a battery. You need a battery.
And I think, you know, that's a really key point. And I want to bring up this question. Because of all that severe weather, people look at these solar panels on the roof and think of them as these fragile things, especially if, you know, you're a middle-aged person with a suburban mortgage. And you think the last time you saw a solar panel was your little solar kit that you got from the Museum of Science, and that thing broke as soon as you sneezed on it. These things are really durable now. I mean, we're talking about, in many cases, Gorilla Glass, where, I mean, you know, big yep. chunks of hail can hit these things and they keep going. But more importantly, these are now wired in a different way so that one cell or one section, if it gets damaged, doesn't take out the entire array. How familiar do you think consumers are that we've gone past that point, or are they still echoing these like 15 or 20 year old concerns to you on a daily basis?
I think it really depends on the person. You know, at Energy Sage, we put a lot into trying to educate people and make it clear that this technology has advanced significantly. They now have really high wind loads, to your point. Some can even withstand hurricane grade winds. You know, it's really not this nascent technology that it once was. It's at a point where you can feel very confident investing in it and knowing that it's going to provide reliable electricity for your house for the next 25, 30 years.
And one last question here. I know we're getting to the end of our time commitment. I really appreciate you coming on the show. I love to talk about financing. I love to get into the weeds with people, especially when we talk about electric vehicles, commercial trucks. If I'm someone who's looking into this and I'm thinking, man, I really want to do this, but I don't want to do a HELOC. I need to come up with some kind of financing. Is that kind of information something I can get through Energy Sage also, or do I have to go to my bank or my mortgage lender to figure all that out?
No, absolutely. Yeah, you can get loans quoted through Energy Sage, all of that right up front. And you know, one last tidbit from our most recent marketplace report is we've seen a trend towards, while interest rates have remained high in terms of solar loans, we've seen much lower dealer fees overall, which is really important because you can always refinance your loan, and or in most cases, you can refinance your solar loan, or you can pay them off sooner so that you know, you can recover some of those high interest rates. You don't have to be paying them necessarily throughout that 25 years.
That's a really great point. For everybody who heard that and didn't quite catch that, a number of loans, bank loans, credit card loans, sometimes when you're doing home additions or home improvements, they have either an initiation fee or a money fee that you pay up front. So they may have a lower interest rate. They may say they're 1.99 or 3.99, depending on how long ago you last looked. But that initiation fee and those charges, you're going to pay regardless. Now, sometimes you'll see a higher interest rate, but without those fees. And if you pay it off sooner or even over the same amount of time, if you compare the final costs, you might still come out ahead with a higher rate because you're not paying those fees, especially if you're paying the rate down with the money that you're saving on your electrical bill, which I think that verges into a commercial, but I'll invoice you for that later.
I'll take it.
Fair enough. All right. This was a really great show. Again, Emily Walker, she's the director of Insights for Energy Sage. We're going to have a link to this in the show notes. And at the bottom of most of my articles, you'll see a link to Energy Sage because I think they're doing really cool stuff. Emily, thank you so much for being on the show. Any parting Thanks thoughts for anybody?
Yeah, we're on Instagram. We're on LinkedIn. If you want to give us a follow, you can make sure to stay up to date with the latest energy news and what's coming out your way in terms of clean energy.
Once again, that's Emily Walker from Energy Sage. Be sure to check out what they're working on. And then also remember, solar, critically important. We talked about this at the top of this episode. Solar and wind made up 98% of all the new U.S. power generative capacity in 2025. You're a big fan of ChatGPT. You're a big fan of cryptocurrency. You're online. You're doing the thing. You're a part of this new generation of everything. You want more energy capacity. Data centers want more energy capacity. This is how we get it. So yeah, if you have any kind of access to your congressman, be sure to write to them, write to your senators, make your voice heard, and like and subscribe here to Quick Charge. You can hear the latest episode. We'll be back to the news tomorrow.